and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who was brought up with Herod Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, Acts chapter 13, from the time that Saul, that is Paul, the person we later call Paul the Apostle, right, was saved to Acts 13, is 14 years. Is that okay? And we see here in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, right, they said there were certain prophets and teachers, and they listed them, and Saul was one of them. So in this passage, we see that here, Paul was either a prophet or a teacher, or both in Acts chapter 13. But we see what happens from verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I called them." Verse 3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. So understand the fact that Paul gave his life to Christ and was not released to prophet to apostolic ministry, that is the ministry of the apostle, right, till after 14 years. Okay, so it's not a matter of age, it's a matter of maturity. It's not a matter of age, but it's a matter of maturity. Somebody cannot get born again at the age of 20 and claim that he's a prophet at the age of 20, a prophet or even apostle at the age of 21. It's not possible, because it takes time to mature into the gift, because it's a massive responsibility. Okay, now going further, in Acts the Apostle chapter 15, you will see something very interesting. After the Jerusalem Council, where they sat down with the elders and apostles of Jerusalem to discuss whether Gentile believers should be circumcised and also follow the law of Moses, right? They wrote a letter to be distributed by Paul and Barnabas and some other people who they sent along with them, okay? So they sent along with them some other people. Part of them was a guy called Judas and a guy called Silas. And see what the Bible says about them. Acts the Apostles 15 from verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. 32. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. That means they encouraged them. They established them in the faith with many words. They were prophets. Are you listening to this? Now, some people ask questions. Okay, what is a prophet? A prophet, first and foremost, is a preacher and or a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who God uses in revelatory gifts, such as word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of discernment. Do you understand? And the gift of prophecy. First and foremost, the fivefold ministry gifts, they are preachers and teachers of the gospel. Jesus, speaking in Matthew at the end, says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you to the end." So every single ministry gift is to preach the gospel. Every single ministry gift is to establish people in faith. Now let's talk about the apostle quickly. The word apostolos means delegate or a sent one. Let me explain it very simply. Imagine all of us are together in one place, and then one of us is sent to go and establish in another place, in another culture. The person is being sent away from us, okay, to do a work. That's an apostle. Now, how would we define apostle in this day and age? An apostle is actually meant to be a missionary, not somebody with a special message. No apostle has any special message. His job is to go and do the work of missions, that is to carry the gospel, right, into cultures that have never heard about Jesus Christ, into people groups that have never heard about Jesus Christ. So if God sends you to Los Angeles now to go and evangelize and to establish your church, you are likely an apostle. Are you listening to me? It's not about village, it's about culture. If there's no Christian culture, if there's no promotion of the gospel in a place, and the Lord sends you to the place, you are sent one to the place, you are an apostle. Now, some people say, okay, an apostle can touch every other ministry gift. They cannot. Please understand that. An apostle is not a prophet. An apostle is not a teacher. An apostle is not a pastor. An apostle is a sent one. Now, you may say an apostle can do the work of evangelism, but he's not an evangelist. An apostle can pastor, but he's not a pastor. Now, look, he's not a pastor. He's an apostle. So understand the fact that when God sends somebody, imagine all of us are together in a church. God now releases Pastor Oji and says, God has already spoken to Pastor Jude that he's sending him to Nicaragua. And we now receive that word. Lay hands on him. Send him to Nicaragua. He's going to Nicaragua as an apostle. He is sent there to go and establish kingdom culture. In simple English, to go and preach the gospel, right? Plant a church, advance the kingdom in that area. Okay? So you can imagine the amount of power, gifting that is necessary to do that. It doesn't make, I'm using Pastor Oji now as an apostle in Nicaragua, it doesn't make him an evangelist. He's an apostle. Because specifically, what he's going there to do is apostolic work. Hey, but what about an evangelist? This is good. An evangelist is not going to the unreached the way an apostle does. Full stop. Okay? Now, people, I remember recruiting missionaries about 7 years ago, mainly Muslim background believers. And while I was training them, I started teaching them about ministry gifts. And I asked them, what's your ministry gift? They had no idea what I was talking about. Because they came from Hausa Brethren Church, EYN. That was their denomination. They said, I'm a missionary. I said, no, what's your ministry gift? So obviously, these guys had no idea of ministry gift. They said they were called to be. Those people were not missionaries, nothing. None of them was an apostle. None of them was an evangelist. They were just talked into it because, you know, they were Muslim. They gave their life to Christ. So the next thing, mission agencies would say, God has called you. They knew nothing about the call. How come they knew nothing about the call? Well, first of all, they didn't even know the doctrine of Jesus. They didn't know the truth. So who is the man of God? Number one, you must have heard the gospel. You must have converted. You must be born again. You must be converted. You must be baptized in water. There's somebody that became very popular in Nigeria, still popular self after he's dead. He said that he was born again from his mother's womb. He became a Christian from his mother's womb. Listen, any so-called minister that said he was born again from his mother's womb has disqualified themselves from the call of God. Hear me very carefully. This same person said that every 2,000 years, God sends a prophet into the world. That is a stinking lie. After Jesus, there's no one else. Everything we have, we received from Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Everything we have, we got from Jesus. Jesus is the one we get everything from. Are you listening? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. It's Christ's gift, though. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Now, he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. He is the one who is Lord and Master. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, watch this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God. The fivefold ministry gift will operate till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of God. Till to a perfect man, till we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So those gifts are operational until Jesus comes. Are you hearing me now? So the ministry gifts come from Jesus. Listen, this idea that there's one kind special prophet or one special apostle that God is sending in this end time is a lie from the pit of hell. We must not venerate or lift up any human being above Jesus Christ. Nobody's special. You see, one thing you come and learn, like we're sharing something the other day when we said that we quoted from James chapter 5, that Elijah was a man of like passion. He didn't say Elijah the prophet. Elijah did not get his prayers answered because he was a prophet. He got his prayers answered because he was a righteous man. So what we teach in the New Testament is that Jesus is Lord and everything we have comes from him. He is the one who appoints us. He is the one who ordains us. The scripture teaches that it is Jesus that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Nobody else. So whether you see a vision of Jesus or whether angel appear to you, you're not more special than anybody. Jesus speaking to who? Thomas said, oh, because you have touched me, put your finger in my hand and in my side, you now believe. He said, but blessed are those who yet haven't seen me. They haven't touched me, but then they believe. Are you listening to me, brothers and sisters? Well, no matter how heavy your encounter may be, it doesn't mean you're more special in ministry. It is God who anoints. It's God who appoints. They say, I need to see it outside. Let it outside lay hands on me so my ministry can go far. Please be very careful. If that is what you're saying, you're practicing idolatry. Are you hearing me? So let's talk about ministry gifts quickly. The apostle is sent to go and establish kingdom culture. All that grammar simply means The apostle is a missionary. Finish. He's a missionary. He's not an apostle. Sorry, an apostle is not a prophet. He's not a teacher. He's not an evangelist. He's not a pastor. He is somebody who God sends to new places to establish the work of God. Are you listening to me? An apostle is not needed, right? Hear what I mean. Hear what I'm saying by needed. An apostle is not needed where a pastor is in a church. He's not needed. Of course, he can minister. He's a minister, but he is not needed. That's not where his gift is manifest, where there's already kingdom culture. If an apostle is not needed where the kingdom of God is being advanced already, he's not needed there. His gift will not show. His gift shows where there is darkness. Are you listening? So you have some people sitting in one place, going from city to city, from platform to platform, and they're calling themselves apostles. They're not apostles, nothing. Apostles only go to dark places, places that are unreached, places where there's no gospel engagement at all. Those are the ones who God sends there. Are you listening to me? A prophet, I repeat, a prophet is first. I talked about Silas and Judas. He said these guys were prophets and they stayed in that place. They not returned to Jerusalem. They stayed in that place and they exhorted, they encouraged, they taught and established the people in the word of God. A prophet is first and foremost a preacher and teacher and or teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters. If you meet a person who is a prophet and all he's saying is vision, 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 run, run. I've seen some people who have relationship with prophets. Only vision, only vision. They don't get to know the doctrine of Jesus, their redemption, even better. They don't become well established in their faith. Run, they are fake. Okay, what's a pastor? The word pastor simply means shepherd. He's a protector of sheep. He's a protector of sheep. The person who leads the team, usually, in the local church is the pastor, not the prophet, not the apostle. Okay? He's the pastor, the shepherd. He protects the sheep. He feeds the sheep with the knowledge of God's word, etc., etc. Who is the teacher? The teacher is the didaskalos. You see, this gift is very interesting. That's the gift of teacher. In that, God has gifted people to understand the doctrine of Jesus and to feed the church or give to the church what they are to accept as doctrine, as gospel. See, some people will think, okay, I'm quoting a lot of passages in my message. I'm quoting a lot of passages. I'm not shouting, therefore I'm teaching. Story. Teaching is not about that you're quoting many passages. Teaching is in that you are actually explaining the doctrine to the people of God and you're showing them the application. Okay, teaching is not declaration. Teaching is expounding and explaining. Are you hearing me now? So who is an evangelist? An evangelist is a preacher and his face is to the world. The Bible says Philip, the evangelist, in the book of Acts. So Philip's ministry, right, is a blueprint. Thank you. Of what an evangelist is. So go and look at that. Is that all right? Go and look at that. Now, we have the fivefold ministry, and it is Jesus who determines who gets what. Now, denominationally and traditionally, people's minds are being you know, taken away from the word of God. But that's not really a problem. You can be an evangelist in a Presbyterian church. Let's say like this. You can be an evangelist in a redeemed church that does not recognize evangelists and still do your work. Are you listening to me now? You can be a teacher, right, in a redeemed church that does not recognize teachers. Because the ordination of redeemed is very strange. Deacon, then assistant pastor, then pastor. Very weird. Do you understand? But you can't blame them. It's the amount of light that they have. You know, it's the amount of light that they have. That's basically what it is. It's ignorance. They don't know better. I can't die on me. I know that they didn't really know the word of God like that. So, see, we can still operate in denominations, even if the denominations has funny customs. We can easily operate. You see CAC. Once you enter CAC, you're a pastor. After some years, you become a prophet. After some years, they make you an evangelist. After some years, prophet. All those things is just they don't really understand. Like someone said here, it's based on function. Okay, these are functions. God has equipped and anointed men, right, and women to operate in ministry. All right. So how do we discover our gifts? I want to also emphasize something. Your lack of being able to properly define the gifts is going to be a problem. Let's say, for instance, God has called you as an evangelist and you've actually heard the Lord call you as an evangelist, but you don't actually know what an evangelist is or what an evangelist does. It's going to hinder your ministry. It's going to hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit through you. So that's why, you know, in Newman, we train evangelists. We explain certain things to them about the evangelist ministry. In fact, in Newman, we define evangelists. We call them miracle workers. Is that okay? They preach the gospel with signs and wonders. That's an evangelist, different from an exhorter. Okay, so we just shared that. Let's go back. Who is a man of God? Number one is to be born again. Being born from your mother's womb has disqualified you and has made you a servant of Satan. Straight. You are born again. You convert. You're baptized. Now, before you can adequately be a man of God, you must come from a local church. You must be known from a local church. Do you understand? There has to be where you are coming from. You can't just show up. I remember a particular white garment church. The man who started a white garment church entered into the bush to do something. When he got into the bush, I don't know whether he got lost. He was fed by snakes, fed by wild animals. He was there for maybe 40 days or something, and he said God appeared to him. He now came back to town. Now, please, I beg, after Jesus, God does not call anybody like that. How does God call people in these last days? You get saved first. You get saved first into a local church. Then your gift is confirmed in the local church. Let me continue. So this particular guy, this particular person, has an encounter with evil spirit and snake, colored snake and everything, comes back to town after some weeks, looking like a madman, sees a mad person, delivers the person from madness. He now establishes Celestial Church of Christ. Now, we all know that this particular person had like 7 wives, or is it 9? I remember my auntie left the church when they asked him a question in like, is it 79 or 80? That how many wives should a man have? He said, as many as you can, as long as you can take care of them. Can you imagine? Okay? So that's when she now left and gave her life to Christ and joined deeper life. So a man of God is genuinely born again. A man of God belongs to a local church. A person who is going to be a minister of God must know the doctrine of Jesus. Because you see, if you go out there and you preach something else, God will judge you. Are you listening? Because God told you what to do in the book of Matthew at the end, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you to the end. If you are not teaching what Jesus commanded, God will not going to be with you. Are you listening to me? You may become big, God will judge you. You can miss heaven because you went there and misrepresented Jesus Christ. And I quote from the book of Matthew chapter 7. Many of you will come and say to me, Lord, Lord. I say, I don't know you. He said, but we preach in your name. We cast out evil spirits in your name. We did mighty works in your name. He said, sorry, I didn't know you. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because you did not do the will of my Father. You did not do the will of my Father. The will of my Father. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So the message and the lifestyle go together for you to be a true man of God. That's why we can look at certain people. I don't have to hear that you raped anybody in your church. I don't have to hear that you did anything, you spent money anyhow, or you stabbed anybody, or you beat up anybody. The fact that you tell me that you were born again from your mother's womb, and you preach a gospel that is nowhere near what Jesus Christ has said, you misrepresent Jesus. You are from the devil, or from yourself. But being from yourself is still from the devil. Are you listening? So who is the true man of God? See, in ordination, let's understand ordination here. When you are ordained in church, this is what's actually happening. The body of Christ, your local assembly, is saying that they recognize the gift on you. And they are putting their hand on you and saying to the whole church that, see this person, we endorse him, we recommend him, he's joining with us in this work. He will work with us as an elder. That's ordination. Are you listening to me? So you have some people that just came from nowhere. They're not part of the local church. Nobody knows their history. Watch what they begin to preach. Rubbish. And let's even talk about the people who actually came from us. Let's talk about those people who came from us. If you come from us and you begin to preach another thing, you've disqualified yourself as a man of God. You've disqualified yourself as a man or woman of God. Okay? Let's read the passage. Let's read the passage. The book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last hour, the end time, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Can you imagine? For if they had been of us, They would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Can you see that? It has to do with message. Message and lifestyle. The minute they begin to preach something, the minute they are not continuing in the word, it means that it's a spirit of Antichrist. Let's quickly talk about Antichrist before I round up. Antichrist does not, in English, you know when you say anti, you're saying against. But anti, okay, in the Bible here, actually means instead. So look at Antichrist as instead of Christ. In other words, they're establishing another Christ. They're preaching another gospel. The spirit of instead of Christ, instead of establishing Christ and his message and his life and his holiness, you're coming up with something else. That's the spirit of the instead of Christ. So once we see this, that they're not sticking to the message, throw them out. Call them out. Lastly, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that first, Bible says, first apostles. Now, it's interesting that, you know, some people claim to be prophets and they want to control your church. I am a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm the spiritual government of this community, of this region. Story. All right. Now, when the Bible says first apostles, we find the word first in Greek is proton. Yeah, just like neutron. Proton. Proton. And it is the same word that is used in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Now, if I ask you a question, is it that Jews are more important than Gentiles? The answer will be no. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that the gospel came first to Jews. I mean, come on now. The Lord was a Jew. His first disciples of the Jew. In fact, the gospel remained basically in Jerusalem, right, for the first 8 years. In the eighth year, we now had the martyrdom of Stephen. People scattered. But even when they scattered, they still maintained preaching to Jews where they went. Of course, Philip went to Samaria. It was because they refused. And these guys were not preaching to Gentiles the way they should. That's why God called Paul the apostle to go to Gentiles. Are you listening to me? So the gospel came first to Jews. So the Bible says God has appointed these in the church. First apostle. What does that mean? It means the first gift. First, at first, in the beginning, at first, it was apostles. Check it. There was no other gift but apostle. After prophet, after teacher, after that, miracles and gifts of healing. Who are those? Evangelists. After that, helps and administration. Who are those? Pastors. Because the first gift to be released is the apostle. Why? Because there was no kingdom culture. There was no church anywhere. So apostles came to establish the church. Once the church is established, all the other gifts now begin to show up. All the other gifts now begin to show up. Because the purpose of the apostle is to go and to go to dark places, right? To go to places where the gospel is not engaged, where the gospel is not promoted, right? Preach the gospel and establish church. Are you listening to me? All right? So I wanted to just share these thoughts with you. Do you understand? Some of you have sat down with apostles before. You do not know they are apostles. They were very unassuming people. Because it's not about braggadociousness. It's not about the suit or the car that makes you an apostle. It's about the assignment. You are to go to dark places. You are to go to unreached places, unengaged places. You are an apostle. You may call yourself missionary. You may be so humble. But when you get out there, you discover that spiritual gifts begin to operate in ways that, in fact, when you come back to the city and tell people what God did through you, they will not believe you. Then you come to your church on furlough, yeah, on leave from the field, and you're just there, you're humble, you're just teaching Sunday school, you're easygoing. And they can't imagine that this one is an apostle. Why? Because he's so easygoing and humble. But the one who's busy bragging up and down, calling himself an apostle because he has a Jeep and he has, you know, 50 million naira in the bank. You know, see, no matter what is going on in the body of Christ right now, no matter what kind of funny teachings or tradition are taking place right now, there is a true church. So we shouldn't allow anything shake us. Stand, continue in the word of God, and see what God will do in your corner. Amen? So I just want to stop here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pastor Theo, are you there?
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. And someone said she has a question. Mr. Maka, please, over to you. Ask your question so the ministers of God can answer.
Good evening, everyone. Please, my question is, the way Christianity is going these days is confusing. We all call on one God, but with different doctrines. And we have over thousands of churches, but with different doctrines. Does it mean that God changed? That is my question. Does God change? Where did they get all those doctrines from?
All right, praise the Lord. Well, first of all, God doesn't change. And God doesn't change. And the fact that there are many denominations, they're there. It's not an issue. Okay? They have different perspectives. They have different practices, different customs. But there's only one doctrine of Christ. I know we use the word doctrine loosely, but there's only one thing that Jesus taught us. And it's clearly, listen to this, right? What we are to believe is clearly documented in the Bible. There's no two ways about it. There may be some minor areas where maybe some things are not clear, but the major things are absolutely clear in the scripture. Now, men can deviate, but let me give you a passage of the Bible, right? Let me just read to you what we just read just now concerning the fivefold ministry. Now, we said that their purpose was to equip. You know, that word equip may be confusing. It actually means to train the believers for Christian service. That's what it means. To edify the body of Christ, that's to build up the body of Christ. Now, whose responsibility is it? It says the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor. This is their job. Now, watch what's going on here. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. Amazing. See what it says. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, Sister Maka, did you see all that grammar right now? Did you see that?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to clear up all this nonsense that we're seeing everywhere. If the fivefold ministry does not rise up to do its job, we'll have all this nonsense happening everywhere. Whether you are Presbyterian, Lutheran, RCCG, Christ Embassy, or anything, if the fivefold ministry rise up, they will straighten everybody out. You hear what I said? They will straighten everybody out in time. I believe, because if you say, and then again, I do understand the fact that when I preach in a holiness church, I will tell the ladies coming with me, I better cover your hair, wear long sleeve, wear long skirt, because I understand their custom. You get what I'm saying? They're Christians, though, but the way in which they have been trained is such that it can be a hindrance to their own salvation. So I go there and I teach them small. I read another passage to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Sister Maga, there's a way some people have received Jesus. That is a problem. Are you catching what I'm saying? What they have been taught is a problem.
I think you're tweeting. Your audio is acting. Can you just study it?
Okay. What I'm saying is that there's a way some people. Is it better now?
Maybe it's network.
Is the audio better now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you clear, but I don't
Okay. So the thing about it is that the way people receive Jesus, you get as they be. But the fivefold ministry will do its work. Okay? It will do its work. It will train everybody, align everybody, edify anybody, sandpaper people, rearrange people. They will do their work. Are you listening to me? So we have one God. But we have a situation where men have been deceitful, men have been cunning, people have tried to build their own empires, all that one is there. But the Church of God has its workers, it has its ministers, they will do their job. No shakings. The gospel has not changed. Men have changed. That's not a problem. we have to keep on pushing the gospel. I tell people that, see, you've read the book of Revelations and you've seen the message to the seven churches. That's some of the experiences we're having right now. Where there is deception in a so-called church, it's no more a church. Why? Because a church is meant to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. That's what the church is meant to be. And where the truth is not promoted and established, it's not a church. The Bible says, Jesus speaking says, I will remove your candlestick. That's what Jesus said. What does that mean? What does a candle do? When it's lighted, it provides light. There are churches, in quotes, in our communities that are not promoting the gospel. Their candlestick has been removed. They're not standing on the truth anymore. So they're not showing people the way. Are you listening to me? But we have the fivefold ministry gifts, right? And relationships. See, all of us here, we're building relationship. We're getting to know each other. You know me, I know you. You know where you can give me recommendation to preach. You know who has an issue that needs to be trained. We all, that's how Body of Christ, you know, is established. It's through relationship. We're a family. So we get to know each other, we build a team, and then we encourage, you know, endorse, we recommend each other to minister in different places. By so doing, we build up the body of Christ. So we have one body. People are lying. True, they're lying. People are trying to mess up the word of God. You can't mess up the word of God. It's your life, you will mess up, right? But the fivefold will do its work. God, Jesus knows already. So he has men who are doing the work. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate everyone for joining us. I believe we have been blessed. We have exceeded our time a little. I will hand us over to Reverend Fidelis Okoje, who will close up for us, who will close the meeting for us. Sir, please, over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But let me there for these expansions and explanations of scriptures. Like, I agree with you, like you said, the Lord said also, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And what I'll lay out that two things the Lord left for us, his word and his spirit. Any true man of God, like you have explained, they might not explain the scriptures in the same level, but in whatever level or category you belong, you explain the truth to the level of understanding. Because the scripture, the Holy Spirit gives the inspiration and interpretation of the word. So the word and the spirit, they go together to do the same work, to produce the fruits and to equip the body of Christ. So it's my prayer this evening that, as we have heard, we will accept the truth by believing it and act on it by our faith, and we will get the desired results in Jesus' name. It's my prayer that by these precious words, we all be sanctified, and the knowledge of the truth will continue to set free and equip us to be conformed to the full stature of the image of Christ. To him be all glory and praise for the privilege and for the grace to fellowship together this evening. May his name forever be praised with thanksgiving. I have prayed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone, for participating or joining us. We've come to the end of today's meeting. Tomorrow, the prayers begin again. 8 tonight. Tomorrow we'll be praying. We'll not be having a Bible study. Tomorrow is prayers. I encourage us to join us tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for participating. If you have other questions, you can just type on the group, and the ministers of God will answer them. Thank you, sirs. Thank you, ma. Praise God. Have a great night's rest.
Good night, everyone.